During World War II, so-called comfort women were trafficked and sexually enslaved by the Japanese Imperial Army. More than 200,000 women were abused. It's one of the largest known cases of human trafficking in modern history. In 2015, the Japanese government agreed to pay $8.3 million to provide care for survivors. That's about 46 women as of last year. Japan's Foreign Minister Fumio Kishida gave this statement.
安倍内閣総理大臣は日本国の内閣総理大臣。
As Prime Minister of Japan, Prime Minister Abe expresses a new sincere apologies and remorse from the bottom of his heart to all those who suffered immeasurable pain and incurable physical and psychological wounds as comfort women.
A previous fund set up in 1993 relied on private donations and was never fully accepted in South Korea. That's according to the New York Times. The Atlanta Comfort Women Memorial Task Force has worked for years to erect a statue to honor the history of comfort women. We talked about the importance of that memorial in February with Mike Honda. He's national advisor for the Atlanta Comfort Women Memorial Task Force. So there are a number of these statues that have gone up and will go up in different places. Why put them up in places like Atlanta where we didn't have Japanese comfort women?
Well, I'm not sure that there were any Japanese comfort women any place in this country.
Yeah.
The fact that we want to have the history that had happened in the past remembered, the memorial and the statues are a physical representation of an incident that happened back in the 1930s through the end of World War II, the systematic kidnapping and coercion of girls and women into sexual slavery for the Japanese military.
And some of these were, when you say girls, some of them were very young.
13.
Yeah, often killed by the amount of violence and abuse that they sustained.
Sure,
at the
and
hands
many
of soldiers.
Them committed suicide also, not being able to live with the kind of things that's been happening to them. Yeah.
So what do we learn? If we're putting up these markers to remind us of something, what is it we should be reminded of?
Well, there's one major issue for me, and I think that we need to know what happened in our history. And in Japan, the books are not reflecting the true history of what happened in Asia, and it did not reflect the issues of the comfort women or the sexual slavery system. That's one. Two, we need to learn about these kinds of things because human trafficking, violence against women is still going on. And in Congress, we had passed the Violence Against Women Act, which acknowledges a global phenomenon that women and girls are being targeted and their bodies are being violated in times of natural disasters and during times of conflict. And that has to stop. We have to make that something that's on the minds of every person, not only this country, but globally. So those kinds of practices would end. And this kind of activity, we need to teach our youngsters in our own communities that this kind of history is needs to be corrected. This kind of behavior today needs to be observed and corrected and prevented.
I mean, since we're speaking about something that was actually put in place by the Japanese Imperial Army, and they actually had, as I understand it, thousands of stations where, kind of like going to a gas station, where they would have these women enslaved,
sure.
Sometimes abused by 25 to 35 men a day.
Right.
I'm not trying to make a comparison between that and the modern military in any country, but we do have an issue with sexual violence in the American military at this point. What kind of things do you think that we're doing enough, that legislators are doing enough to address what's been happening inside the armed services?
Well, I think when you have legislators who understand this is going on and who are willing to make this an issue, pretty much like what Congresswoman Judy Chu, when she said that one of her relatives was targeted because the soldiers around her cousin or nephew thought he was gay. And so they targeted him and harassed him until he committed suicide. These kinds of things are going on, whether it's gender or gender orientation. These kinds of things are going in the military, and it has to be, one, revealed, and then it has to be eliminated. And I believe that once it's revealed, the military culture will change, but it will only change upon exposure. And I think that during the Obama administration, we've seen some changes, major changes that had occurred, at least in the policy. Once the policy is in there, then it's our individual efforts that we have to exercise to make sure that we make sure that the policy is implemented.
That was Mike Honda, National Advisor for the Atlanta Comfort Women Memorial Task Force. A memorial was slated to break ground earlier this year at the Center for Civil and Human Rights in Atlanta, but the center backed out in March. VP of Marketing Christy Raymer gave us this statement about that decision. Quote, part of the originally proposed partnership was to build an outdoor monument in honor of the Comfort Women. The center is not in a position to fulfill that aspect of the proposal. Permanent exterior fixtures were not part of the original design or any new strategic plan for the future of the Center for Civil and Human Rights. The center will continue to find ways to collaborate with the Atlanta Comfort Women Memorial Task Force to highlight the tragic experience of the Comfort Women that will be meaningful and impactful to center visitors. End quote. The memorial has now found a new home in the city of Brookhaven. And I should mention that Mike Honda, who we just heard from, is a third-generation Japanese-American. With me now via Skype is Brookhaven Councilman John Park. Hi, John.
Hello.
Currently in Korea, correct?
Yes.
And also with us is Kelly Ahn, a member of the Atlanta Comfort Women Memorial Task Force. Hi, Kelly.
Hi.
We're talking about events that happened some almost 80 years ago. Why is this so important, this memorial?
To me, it opens a bridge to the present-day issues that are involved in terms of trafficking, violence against women, sexual trafficking. For example, even modern military slavery happens today in ISIS and Boko Haram. And so these are issues that really transcends politics. It's fundamentally about safeguarding the human rights of all women. And that's why I think it's so important.
John, Atlanta, I think, still ranks as the number one city in the world for sexual trafficking. But do you think people would make the connection between that very modern problem and the plight of the Comfort Women from World War II?
I think it's one of these things where it's been a problem throughout history, you know, since the beginning of history. And it's still going on today. And, you know, it's something that relates to Brookhaven because we have been very focused on, you know, training our employees, and also our chief of police has been very active in, you know, trying to stop human trafficking. So the fact is it's a universal problem, and this is the largest event, and it relates to the things that are going on today.
So what makes Brookhaven the right home for this memorial?
Well, to be honest, I think it should have been at the Center for Health, a Center for Civil and Human Rights. But unfortunately, they declined, and I felt that it had to be somewhere centrally located to Atlanta. Brookhaven bordering Atlanta was a logical choice.
Kelly, this, despite the fact that it has been decades since this all occurred, and there's only a few dozen Comfort Women left alive at this point, it's still a very sore point between not just Korea, not just for Koreans, but for Japanese people as well in Japan and in the United States. Why are the emotions on this issue still so raw?
I think for the Japanese side, I'll just say that, number one, this issue is not just about Japan versus Korea. It's Japan versus at least 13 countries throughout the Pacific Theater where the Comfort Women are from, principally from Korea. I think the problem is that the Japanese don't want to acknowledge the history, and that's where the frustrations from all the other countries come into play. The United Nations has been calling for Comfort Women justice since 1996, when the seminal report was announced for Comfort Women. And so if Japan wants to play Japan versus a country, it's Japan versus at least 190 countries represented by the United Nations since 1996. But it really is Japan versus the truth.
And yet, just a couple of years ago, the Prime Minister of Japan issued, as we heard, sincere apologies, remorse from the bottom of his heart. They gave reparations to the tune of over $8 million. Why do you feel like they're still denying history?
So just that next week, Prime Minister Abe, to the Japanese parliament, responded to a question on, are you going to apologize for the comfort women again? And he basically said that agreement means I'm never going to apologize for the comfort women ever again. And to me, a true, sincere apology, there's no expiration date on it. It's not like food. You acknowledge full responsibility for a wrongdoing. You acknowledge it fully and forever. There's no time limit on an apology. And then to have a revisionist history policy where they try to expunge the history of the comfort women, that's not the stance of someone who's truly apologizing. And the comfort women, the 38 that are left surviving, they were never part of this, a party to this agreement. It was a government-to-government interaction without any involvement by the comfort women themselves. They reject the agreement. And the new president, President Moon, is also someone who's already made in his first conversation to Abe when President Moon became president, that he found the agreement unacceptable and it was going to be something that needed to be revised. On May 12th, the UN Committee on Torture announced that the Comfort Women agreement needed to be revised, just on May 12th.
So, John, that sort of brings this history kind of closer to the present. But is there a message for your constituents, do you think, from having this memorial, this statue in Brookhaven? What are you trying to say to the people, not just in Brookhaven, but around Metro Atlanta?
The thing is, sometimes we don't want to talk about uncomfortable things. A few months ago, I was at a PTA meeting with the chief of police and myself and a bunch of parents. And our chief of police said to the parents there, hey, by the way, we're having this event where we're presenting 8 Days, which is a documentary about child sex trafficking. And the parents kind of got upset and they said, why are you bringing this up with us? This doesn't happen in Brookhaven. This isn't relevant to us. And the chief basically said, but it is. It does happen around you and closer than you think. So I think it's one of these things where events like this happen in the shadows, and only by bringing light to it can we truly eradicate it. That would be my message.
Why do you think, John, that that's a lesson that we haven't learned? Not us in particular, you, me, and Kelly, but the worldwide, because this isn't just about the Japanese army. There have been a number of militaries, including the U.S. military, in which there have been issues of sexual harassment. There's apples and oranges situations in the particulars, but in the broad strokes, the problem of sexual violence and sexual abuse is one that has stayed with us for generation and generation and century after century. Why is it one we have trouble learning?
I honestly don't know the answer to that. I think it's because the same reason that the comfort women didn't want to talk about their experience. You know, people are have an aversion to talk about something so horrible. And, you know, only by bringing it to the light and only by discussing it and putting out in the open, i.e. a statue, can we truly kind of internalize the struggle?
What about you, Kelly? What do you hope people take away from this?
You know, I came to this issue because I have two girls who are 16 and 18, and they're the exact same ages as the comfort women. And I want my girls to be able to go to a high school prom party, not worry about violence or date rape or being violated on, or my girl in college going to a frat party, feeling safe. And that's the type of culture that I want to bring to light for all of us everywhere in the world, because this issue is not about Japan. It makes absolutely no difference whether the perpetrator of the crime was from Japan, Antarctica, or Mars. It does not matter. It's about the victims, it's about the women, and it's about safeguarding human rights. And I don't want the focus to be lost.
Have you, John, gotten protests against the memorial in Brookhaven?
I have gotten some emails from Japan, actually, that basically tried to deny the history. Quite frankly, it's puzzling to me that they would send, you know, these kinds of harassing emails. But, you know, for the most part, my constituents have been very supportive.
For the most part, that it's a mixed bag, or you've only heard?
I've only heard positive things from my constituents. All the negative feedback have come from either Japanese email addresses or people with Japanese ties.
That is Brookhaven Councilman John Park joining us by Skype. And we also had Kelly Owen on, a member of the Atlanta Comfort Women Memorial Task Force. Thanks so much to both of you.
Thanks so much.